I'm Ben Smith, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell podcast.
Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman, clean, natural.
Natty.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We're joined by Mark Bell and Silent Mike. These guys are both athletes, and gym goers for super training, strongest gym in the West.
That's right.
Mark is quasi-YouTube famous for his podcast.
And YouTube celebrity.
And his starring role in Bigger, Stronger, Faster, a documentary on the subject of performance-enhancing drugs in the powerlifting and bodybuilding communities. And that's actually why we got these guys here today. So welcome.
So we're talking about steroids.
We're talking about steroids.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I'm glad you guys brought me in. I know you guys wanted to talk about, kind of steroids in the CrossFit community and stuff like that. And, the recent articles popped up from my homie John Romano, who's actually in the film Bigger, Stronger, Faster. So I think it's a great topic. It's good to talk about, and not enough people are talking about it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how Blair and I feel about it, because we read that article. I mean, he sent it over to me, and we were like, all right, we need to have a show just on this topic, right? Like, and we need to find somebody that we know that's knowledgeable on this topic, right? So I think that before we get into maybe even CrossFit and steroids, I mean, a lot of us are kind of interested in, like, your story, like, when you first got exposed to steroids and just how your relationship kind of progressed from there.
So I started powerlifting when I was about 12 years old, and I've been around steroids for pretty much the beginning. I remember, being at a powerlifting meet. I was in White Plains, New York, where they held ADFPA, supposed to be a drug-tested federation. That's a bunch of abbreviations for you're not supposed to take steroids. I was in this powerlifting meet, and I remember there was a guy there that deadlifted 793 pounds, weighing 198 pounds. Just every vein just popped out of his body when he was doing it. I just remember just being like, man, that motherfucker's jacked. Like, that guy is, And then I remember somebody else saying, oh, well, of course he's able to do that. He's on steroids. And I had no idea the concept of it, didn't really know much about it. I heard my brothers talk about it. Both my brothers got me into powerlifting. And they talked about it a little bit here and there because they were older. But, I didn't know what everybody was talking about at the time, but I just recall, like, that moment where people were like, oh, that guy's probably on him. And then, as I've been in powerlifting for a long time, you start to realize that a lot of times people are just pointing the finger at things that they don't think are conceivable for them. So sometimes, like, I mean, I just deadlifted yesterday, and I deadlifted 640 pounds. Not a great deadlift, especially for somebody who's been powerlifting for a long time. Even if I deadlifted 700 pounds, still not the greatest. There's guys out there ripping up 800 pounds routinely. Now, there's guys that are in drug-tested federations that weigh less than me that are deadlifting more than me, getting drug-tested frequently, So that kind of gives you an idea. So hopefully that gives some people some perspective on what they can do and what they can't do. They're not going to turn you into a champion out of nowhere, and that's something that's important to recognize. But my main, I heard about steroids when I was young, but as I got older, I got into professional wrestling, is when I started to consider it more, because steroids, they make you bigger. And at the time, I was about Silent Mike size, probably weighed about 200 pounds. And I wanted
still
to get
about twice as big as I am.
Yeah. I wanted to get bigger. I wanted to gain some weight. I wanted to be more jacked. And so I hopped on some stuff at about 25 years old and went up to about 240 pounds.
Mike, what about you?
I have no story with steroids yet, but maybe one day. Yeah, I was kind of like, I think I'm like the typical American where, like, you hear it on your news because people are talking like, oh, this was a fire on steroids, meaning this was a very big fire at this whatever news story. But I got into lifting probably 4 years seriously before I met Mark. I had no idea. Like, you see Mr. Olympia, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I don't want to be a bodybuilder, but that's pretty cool. Maybe I should, try to aim for Phil Heath's physique. Little right. did I know that they're taking things that I'm not taking. And then from being totally naive, I hop into a deep world of powerlifting with Mark and super training, who's obviously open with it because of Bigger, Stronger, Faster, and we talk about it pretty frequently. And then now I know a decent amount without taking them.
You brought it up, like I think the typical American or the typical podcast listener out there who doesn't have direct experience with, you know, steroids or other PEDs, like our exposure to it, and I count myself in that category, is what we see on ESPN when a baseball player gets busted or a football player fails a drug test. You know, maybe we've seen or known guys that have anecdotally done it, but like the quote unquote farm to fork process of what it's like to take PEDs, like where do they come from? Do you have to go to some like seedy motel and like have an exchange in the parking lot?
Right.
Like that's something that I'm curious about as an athlete, because I wanted to know how supposedly if all these guys are getting them, how are they getting them?
Yeah. And where are they getting them from, type of deal. The thing is, when it comes to, you know, where to get them, how to get them, that has like exploded over the years, because now there's people that make them. There's like underground labs, basically. People order the powders from China. Everybody knows this. This is no surprise. I'm not giving out some sort of shocking news, but maybe shocking to some of the people listening. But people order the powders from China. Nobody is quite sure how the powders are derived. Even in the research for Bigger, Stronger, Faster, it was inconclusive to try to figure out where the synthetic form of it like actually does come from. There was some rumors that it came from sweet potatoes and some other things like that, but nobody really fucking knows. But anyway, people order the powder and they'll mix stuff up in their freaking sinks or bathtubs.
I love it. Nobody knows where the powders come from. They mix them up in their sinks and they just inject them.
Yeah.
Right? Eject.
Right. And it works, so we don't really care.
Yeah, yeah. And the pharmaceutical companies are not much different. You know, they didn't give us any information anyway. Maybe they were just withholding information for whatever reason. But, you know, the point is that it comes from a lot of different places now. So it'd be harder to kind of pinpoint who's taking stuff. If this was 15 years ago, I could tell you every person that's on them, because there's not that many degrees of separation from the steroid dealer to the actual athletes themselves. So
we just get it from the big guy in the gym, right?
Yeah,
like I'm working on the corner at 24 Hour Fitness.
100%.
Mark sees me working really hard, like, hey, bro, you want to get more gains? So like, 100%. Yeah, dude. And then he takes me under his wing, and
well,
boom,
I knew a lot of trainers and stuff that would, you know, they would work with somebody for a few weeks, and then next thing you know, that person would make some noticeable changes. And meanwhile, that person was already in the gym for 2 years. So it's not like they weren't training, not like they weren't trying hard, but they had a coach come over to them, show them maybe some better techniques with the lifting, but also show them some better techniques in terms of supplementation. The thing that gets to be really weird about the whole steroid thing is that we are all always trying to get better. We're all trying to make advancements. We're all trying to – a lot of times it's self-improvement, right, is what it's coming down to. And, you know, getting a massage is fine. Purchasing a hot tub or – you know, getting, just any sort of aid to help you recover, compression pants, that cost $200, you know, maybe the other guy can't afford $200 compression pants and so on and so forth, down the road. But for some reason, steroids have this weird stigma behind them where they're bad. They're labeled as being bad. They're labeled as being negative. I do understand that some organizations have banned them from what they're doing. But even in terms of CrossFit, if somebody just wanted to CrossFit and whoop everybody's ass, but they didn't even compare to compete in the games, how unfair would that be? Like, it wouldn't really be unfair, would it? Because it's just some guy coming into your gym, kicking your ass. He's not trying to be on a level playing field with you even, you know? So some of it gets to be, you know, kind of quite interesting about, you know, why would they necessarily be considered bad? Why would one form of recovery or one form of getting better? What if Ben here decided to go to Russia and learn some crazy techniques about how to get better or more athletic for CrossFit, and he came back and whooped everybody's ass with knowledge that no one else had? I mean, would that be unfair? I mean, I don't know where you draw the line, you know?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question, because they definitely do have a stigma. Any sort of performance-enhancing drug has a stigma, and it's you're not really sure where that started or how it began. Maybe we'd have to trace it back and do a little history, like a little research on that.
I mean,
and
if someone came
started,
in now and just said, hey, man, I got this new supplement, like, I want you to try it and see how it reacts. How many questions would you really ask even, you know? If it's like, it says Progenics on it, you're like, All right, cool. Yeah.
Similar road is like marijuana. You know, you hear a lot about powerlifters and bodybuilders smoking marijuana to relax, which, you know, stress is stress. So stress from training, stress from life, you relax, you recover better, right? That's kind of simple. You sleep better, you recover better. And no one's going out to any powerlifting competitions, testing them, or CrossFit competitions, testing them for marijuana. Like, Blair, I heard you smoke, bro. You look really relaxed. Like, you're recovering better than me because of that. Yeah, you know, like, right. No. Like,
I think what it comes down to is PEDs are looked at as cheating.
Right.
It looks like it's that you're taking a shortcut and you're not exactly putting in the amount of work it would have taken you to get those gains without that aid. Right. And whenever they decided that that was cheating, that's when the stigma started, you know, right. And maybe going to Russia and spending all that money on a plane ticket and an expensive right. coach, even though that's not available to everybody. Right. You know, people don't look at that the same way.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's just interesting that it's kind of come to just be like a bad thing for whatever reason. And it could be, you know, they are legal. They were made a Schedule III drug. I think that people feel that it sends a wrong message to kids. And even in Bigger, Stronger, Faster, I said in the film, like, it's not something for kids. It's not even something for people who are untrained. It's not something that somebody should take if they're not already training and not already trying hard. If they haven't tried to put their best foot forward and try to even just improve themselves over a long period of time, there's really no point in them going down that road.
Well, I want to back up just like a little bit. Something you said earlier, you know, it's like Mike said he stepped into this world of powerlifting. All of a sudden now he's like, I know a crap ton about steroids and right. I don't even take them, right? Because everybody's pretty open in the gym and whatever. All right, so you guys can be open in the gym, and then we also know they're illegal. And then you're on a podcast or a movie
right.
saying that you've done them or you do them.
This is for entertainment purposes.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And that's we're all actors.
And that's what I'm wondering. Like, yeah. How do people not just come kick out the doors and be like, hey, Smelly, you come with me?
Well, that could happen. I made the decision a long time ago to not be fearful of that. You know, I try not to worry about stuff like that, although obviously it is a concern. But you can get them through doctors and stuff like that now, so you don't have to have the same concerns that you did a few years back. Now you can just kind of a little bit like marijuana, you can get it prescribed to you. And so that's a lot easier route, a lot safer route.
Oh, more illegal only when you're dealing it, yeah.
Right. That's, I mean, typically, I mean, I guess you can go after anybody you want to go after, but typically when, you know, when they talk about, you know, going after somebody, it's usually somebody that's dealing shit, you know.
Yeah, they found Barry Bonds, took a bunch of stuff, right, and he's not in jail, but maybe Balco or whatever's getting hunted to get sued.
Yeah, I don't think testing positive for steroids has ever led anybody to go to jail,
which is kind of surprising.
As far as I know. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly, right? People don't like that, and so, yeah, you can't play our sport anymore, but, you know. You're not going to jail.
Right.
Nobody's pressing criminal charges.
Right.
Well, let's take the average person out of it. Someone who is, you know, it's not really against their sport, the rules of their sport. They can go out and find access however, and they want to beat everybody in the gym and be bigger, like more power to them. Let's focus on the athletes, right? You see people being busted in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You see people being busted in, obviously, like professional cycling with the Lance Armstrong thing, blood
UFC.
Doping. UFC. I mean, every level of, you know, professional sport is kind of touched by, like, my mark, like you said earlier, like, everybody wants to improve, and what's the best way that I can get to reach my potential?
Right.
With respect to CrossFit, like, what are the tangible advantages, not just of steroids, but of these other performance-enhancing drugs? Like, why would a CrossFit athlete want or need assistance? Yeah.
I'd like to point out, first of all, that there's many different kinds of performance-enhancing drugs. You have things like growth hormone. You have things like EPO. There's a lot of variants with the things that you can
take.
Even
caffeine, yeah. It's not illegal, but it's a performance-enhancing drug.
There's a lot of different things. We're going to try to take a selfie right now.
Mid-podcast selfie.
There's a lot of different things that you can take. EPO would be something that would help you with endurance.
What is EPO?
I'm not even 100% sure, but I know that what it does is it's some, you know, abbreviation of something much longer. But basically, it helps with the production of red blood cells. The red blood cells allow you to basically get oxygen to your muscles easier, which help with recovery. So you guys might want to look that up.
Yeah, this seems like something that would be good for CrossFit, right? Like, if you want to be good at CrossFit,
it would change.
Eat a lot of EPO.
It would fucking change everything. However, there's a downside to EPO. Do you guys know what the downside is to EPO?
No.
You could die. Similar to insulin. Insulin is a very powerful drug as well. Messing around with insulin can also lead to death, which is not good from what I've heard.
Right.
Worse than non-death.
Yeah. Those are pretty powerful drugs that have some really, really bad side effects to them. However, it just kind of goes to show you how far people will take things. The reason why a CrossFitter would want to mess with performance-enhancing drugs is the same reason why anybody else would want to. You're going to be able to make gains faster, more consistently, over a longer period of time. I don't know what the average age of the best CrossFitters looks like quite yet. I don't know if anybody really knows that answer quite yet.
It seems to be like somewhere in the mid-20s, 25 to 28.
So if
similar to other sports.
So 25 to 28, that's 3 years. You know, what if we can expand that? You know, what if we can expand that from, 23 to 40? You know, like what if we can elongate that a little bit through some enhancement? And so there's some different ways to – I want to point out, too, like Mike mentioned professional bodybuilding. Those of you that are familiar with like Phil Heath or Dorian Yates or Ronnie Coleman, these Mr. Olympian winners, guys, weighing 250-plus pounds on stage, just being completely shredded. Well, those guys are on performance-enhancing drugs. Those guys are on steroids. And people can usually point the finger and say, those guys, I've been working out for 4 or 5 years. I bet those guys are on those things called steroids. Like people can start to make the assumption, like I've been really busting my ass in the gym for 10 years and I'm not in any neighborhood of what these guys look like.
And they're probably right.
They're 100% correct. Yeah. All those guys.
Side note on those bodybuilders is in professional bodybuilding, Mr. Olympia's 10, the peak age usually is in their mid 30s and even later. The number two Olympia this year, Dexter Jackson, is 43.
Dexter Jackson, congratulations! That guy's amazing.
That guy's amazing. We're just kind of showing that steroids, like I'm 27, I can't just take them and become Mr. Olympia in 2 years. They've maybe been taking them for a long time. They've obviously been training for a very long time, dialing in their sport.
Another side note with that is those guys, they're genetically, whatever the hell they have going on. Anyone can take steroids and never even come close to even looking like those guys.
Mentally and physically.
Genetically, mentally, the physical preparation, the whole thing. These guys are all in 100%. But I wanted to point out is that while it's easy to point the finger at those guys and say, yeah, they probably take steroids, it's very difficult to look at Anderson Silva. You guys know who Anderson Silva is, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult to look at Anderson Silva and say, yeah, he probably takes the same drugs as those bodybuilders do. Because he got busted recently as well for performance-enhancing drugs. So that's where things get to be really tough. It gets to be really hard to identify who the fuck's taking it. Like if this guy is 20% body fat and weighs 200 pounds, he's taking them too? Now I'm really confused. I don't understand what's going on. So there's a lot of different steroids to take for a lot of different types of things that you would want to take them for. You can take steroids for sprinting. You can take steroids for powerlifting. It all kind of ends up looking the same. Most people would want to take a form of testosterone. That is kind of the goal, is to raise testosterone levels. I'm not going to get into the science of it too much because I'm going to fuck it all up. But there's a lot of different types of steroids. Some of them bloat you up and make you look like a power lifter. Some of them will shred you up and make you look like a bodybuilder. And some of them you can kind of stay in your own weight class or even do like what a cyclist does and not gain a whole lot of weight but gain a whole lot of strength and a whole lot of endurance.
So you mentioned that like a side effect of EPO, insulin, things like that. When you mess around with those ones, you could die. What happens if you use, say, too much testosterone? I mean, like, can I like inject 13 whatever million milligrams?
Yeah. A
whatever.
Tub. We use a tub.
17.
We use it by gallons.
Yeah.
Right,
like, 2 gallons of testosterone might kill you.
I really appreciate how you guys are like trying to pretend nothing about steroids throughout this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, if I have 14 chips of testosterone, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to die?
So you can buy testosterone in like 10 milliliter bottles.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Or 20 milliliter bottles. I can show you the various websites.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you can get it in a 10 milliliter, 20 milliliter. I mean, you can get, there's larger ones, but it's usually 10 or 20 milliliter. You can inject that entire thing. You can inject all 20 milliliters. The only thing that would happen is you'd be sore from the injection. You're not going to get, like, sick. You're not going to feel weird. There could be irritation from the injection that will give you, like, flu-like symptoms because that's a lot of shit to inject all at one time. But other than that, from the actual effects of the testosterone, even several days later, there would be hardly any changes at all. Some people may end up with some variance of mood and stuff like that, because now your testosterone levels are being elevated, your estrogen levels are coming along with it, and just shit's getting to be a little rocky because that huge spike of stuff that you took. But it's not like if you drank four cups of coffee. You know, if you drank four cups of coffee, you'd feel that right away, as opposed to...
You'd run into the bathroom.
As opposed to taking a bucket of steroids.
So my next question is kind of about the amount of time it's going to take for you to see any sort of benefit. So I've seen, when I was in college playing football, I had a buddy who...
Wink, wink, Mike.
A roommate who he was injecting. He was trying to go to the NFL, and he wanted to optimize his performance for the combine. I've also had, you know, friends since then who just go to GNC and get, like, you know, pro hormones.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, those are over-the-counter things. I'm guessing they're not as strong as the stuff you inject, but...
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they match them. Yeah.
Right. So give me an idea of what's the difference between those types of methods, and then how long do you have to be using before you're going to actually see some sort of real tangible result?
Normally, you're looking at about 6 weeks or so before you start to see results. So about 6 weeks from now, you guys should get pretty big. It usually takes about...
samples you brought us.
Yeah, exactly. It usually takes about 6 weeks. The thing that, you know, the thing about steroids is that it's an accumulation over a period of time. Just like your regular training is, as being a natural athlete, it's an accumulation over a period of time. How long is it going to take me to see results from doing CrossFit? Well, it's going to take 4 or 5 weeks, you know, for you to get, let's say, Silent Mike, who's a good body type to jump into CrossFit. It's going to take you 4 or 5 weeks to teach him a lot of the skills, right? And it's going to take you another 4 or 5 weeks to be able to kind of pour on, have him start to do more endurance type stuff. It's going to take about 3-4 months for you to kind of get him heading in the right direction. Is that correct? I mean, that's a good assumption, approximately.
Right. Giving him a lot of credit here, bro. You're giving him a lot of free credit.
Well, and he might suck at a couple things, right? Everyone's always going to suck at a few things. But steroids kind of work the same way. It's an accumulation over a period of time. And over the first 6 weeks or so is where you're probably going to notice kind of the most profound effects. And then once you're on them for about, you know, 6 months or so, you're not going to continue to, like, gain a pound a month. You know, you're going to stay similar.
It's been explained to me pretty simply with, like, creatine. Everyone's pretty familiar with creatine if you've lifted any weights. And science says creatine works. I've taken creatine for 3 years. I've never felt it work. But maybe it's given me a rep here, 2 reps there, 10 pounds here on my bench or whatever. Steroids are like that, but maybe you feel them a little more or see it a little quicker.
And as far as the pro-hormone thing, I don't really know what the difference is. I do know that, like... years ago, when they were more popular and they were banning them left and right, before they had the chance to ban some of them, there was people getting really crazy gains from them. But they were also just getting a lot of side effects from them too, like acne and stuff like that. So
yeah, you start taking a pill, mentally, placebo, you start working out harder, you get acne, you start going bald, and they're like, fuck, these steroids are really working.
Really work. Yeah. I'm going bald. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
I think, like, Trend Extreme people, like, a while back.
Yeah, that's why everyone says Trend all the time. Yeah,
yeah, they're like, is that stuff like Trend? And you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, does Trend work, like, really good or something? Because everybody's comparing everything to Trend.
Yeah, I think there's more common names that, you know, the internet's made popular, like Trend or D-Ball. And then there's also things that are just more extreme. You know, from my little bit of knowledge, Trend is kind of like your typical steroid, where you could take a decent amount of it. You might rage out a little bit. You feel the effects a little bit sooner than maybe just taking a regular whatever testosterone.
Yeah, it might hit you a little faster. There's all kinds of different steroids. I mean, you know, to try to go into all that's just too much. But, like, basically, even with, again, going back to training, the harder the training is, the more likely something is to kill you, the better it's going to work. And training and steroids are kind of the same in that way. When we talk about, like, oral steroids, they're usually more harsh. They hit you a lot faster, but you get a lot better results from them.
Okay. Well... Dude, we're learning, like, so much about steroids. Like, we're like Silent Mike now. Like, we don't take steroids, but we know what it's like.
Well, look, you know, some of the things you guys do in training aren't going to be considered to be all that safe, right? I mean, sometimes you guys are going to take
some weird muscle ups.
You guys are going to take
some. The pec.
You guys are going to take some risk. I mean, I go to the CrossFit Games and people are climbing the rope, you know, X amount of times and shit, and then people are falling off the rope from, I don't know, 15, 20 feet high. I mean, it looks crazy. But if you don't take those risks, if you don't have things that are unsafe, how are you ever going to achieve what you're trying to achieve? I don't think you could find a safe route, could you? You know, I think
it's like risk
hard.
Reward is what you're talking about, right? Yeah. The higher the risk, the better the payout.
Yeah, right? To some extent, right?
And you mentioned the CrossFit Games, you know, and we're not here to accuse anybody or point any fingers. But,
yes,
you know,
we are.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, and all so right. The list starts off in alphabetical order. Hopefully, you're listening because you're off the team.
So you look at the CrossFit Games, and you know, you've been there, what, 2-3 years in a row now, right, watching as a spectator, not competing, despite the multiple invites.
I've been there 4 years in a row, buddy.
Oh, 4 years yeah. in a row. 4 years in a row. Okay. And
not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah, no. Four times game spectator.
Four times.
So if you look at guys like that, and knowing what you know, would you make the assumption that, like, hey, there are definitely guys on that floor, despite being tested, right? Because who knows about these testing protocols? That's another thing we should talk about, right? Like, you look at the athletes, nobody's testing dirty, yeah. right?
Do you guys know how many people they test? Do they test everyone?
Or has anybody ever been caught?
They say that they test everyone because after regionals, right, the top five guys, even if they only take three, so actually the top seven guys.
I wonder what they test them
even
all
only
for.
Top, you know? Yeah, exactly. I don't know what those testing protocols are. Yeah. And if you guys have caught wind of what they are. But, I mean, looking at the workout floor and looking at what they do for 4 or 5 days in a row, what they look like, you know, what are your thoughts? What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, I think the whole topic that's brought up by John Romano is a good one, just in saying, like, hey, let's not be naive. Let's understand that a lot of these guys, just like any other athlete, is probably using. Would the percentage be that much higher than football, or would the percentage be that much higher than some other sports? I doubt it. From being around a lot of CrossFitters and some high-level ones at that, I have never heard anybody even really talk about it heading in that direction. I'm not going to sit here and try to say that I think everyone's clean, because obviously they're not. But I also... With people like Ben Smith, you know, winning the entire thing, it's like, what's that guy's body type? I mean, what is he, 6'1"? Is he 190 pounds or something?
I think he's a little
lighter,
yeah.
185
pounds. Yeah, I'd say 6 foot, 190 is about right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and again, I already mentioned that there's different body types taking different things. But he certainly doesn't look like somebody who uses anything.
If Ben Smith is on steroids, my whole world will fall apart. Yeah. Okay? Because, like, everything about Ben Smith, like, I hold in really high regard. So, but I know what you're saying.
But steroids are American as what?
Apple pie.
Apple pie. That's what he's saying, bigger, stronger, faster. But anyway, you know, it's hard to really try to narrow down who's on them, who's not. What I always say is a good sign that somebody's on shit is that if they're 220 pounds and above, and if they're under 10% body fat. I know I already pointed out to like the Anderson Silvas and stuff, but I'm talking about guys that are using some good amount of stuff. Guys that are using some you know, some serious PEDs are going to be 220 pounds in body weight and under 10% body fat in some cases. And I don't really see that from the CrossFit community. I'm not seeing people that kind of fall into that. I'm not saying that those are the only people that would be on them, but I'm just saying that that's a good, decent, basic guideline.
Just to play a devil's advocate, you know, being in powerlifting where there's no money, there's zero fame beyond YouTube, there's no real benefits of the thrashing we put our bodies through, and what, maybe 60 to 70% of all powerlifters are on some type of steroid?
Well, the percentage
it's
is
very
probably,
popular now.
Yeah, yeah, the percentage is probably lower because
okay,
so
say,
many people have entered it. Just say 40.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. 40%. 50, it doesn't matter. Yeah. There's a lot of people on steroids and powerlifting,
yeah.
And there's no benefit. CrossFit, there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of money sponsors. There's a lot of sponsors in general. There's obviously money in maybe not local competitions, but regional big competitions.
Right.
A lot of money in the games. I would just think that everybody would be on them.
Right,
and that's pretty much the gist of Romano's article. Is like, yeah, the conversation needs to be had because there is so much incentive.
Yeah.
Like, there is fame, there is money,
right?
Just like all these other professional sports, maybe not as much so,
right,
with million-dollar contracts, but there is an incentive. And I mean, you bring a great point, Mike, about bodybuilders and powerlifters using when there isn't any of that.
Right.
So there's this basic human incentive,
right,
to be the best that you can be, regardless of all those additional incentives.
Right.
And if we're saying that there's pretty much powder you can just buy from China and mix up in your garage, like, access is pretty easy. So
yeah,
the fact that you know, we as a community in CrossFit and we as athletes are not kind of at least having this conversation and acknowledging the fact that it's out there. It just seems kind of, just seems like we're ostriches, heads in the sand.
Yeah, I think, you know, whenever you can kind of see somebody come out of nowhere, that's where some of the signs would come in. I've always used to kind of say in powerlifting that if somebody's good at like one thing and they're telling me that they're drug free, I can probably buy it, because sometimes there's body types that lend themselves to being good at like a deadlift, or a body type that's good for squatting or whatever. But if you're good at all three, you're kicking everyone's ass in all three, then odds of you being on stuff are higher. And I would say the same thing in CrossFit. If you're like really well-rounded, if you're kicking everybody's ass when it's time to do a deadlift, and then kicking everybody's ass when it's time to do a rope climb, and then kicking everybody's ass on endurance drills, I mean, it's just like you got to start to kind of just think to yourself, okay, it is possible that that son of a bitch is genetically mutated and a little bit better than the rest of us. That's definitely a possibility, but it's also a possibility that they're not.
Yeah, I think the top genetics, if that was the case, you'd probably be in the NFL, NBA, or MLB from
right, you're
childhood.
Making way more money, right? Like if you're going that route, a coach should have identified you at some point
yeah.
and been like, hey, you need to stop exercising yeah. in the gym and like get out on the field.
Stop doing these burpees and start doing something yeah. serious,
just
kid.
Just as it's like a human to want to become better maybe with steroids or whatever, I think it's just as human to want to make money and to be famous. And of course, when you're 10 and you're the fastest, strongest kid on the playground, you're going to be the quarterback or you're going to be the point guard or whatever, and then you're going to carry that on.
Right. That just put a light bulb in my head also. What are the lasting effects? So take somebody who is that genetic freak who got picked, and he's in the NFL, and you know, they're using growth hormone and steroids and whatever in the NFL. Oh my God.
We got a call in.
We got somebody calling in.
Never in the history, hello? Never in the history of BTB podcast have we had a call in, so...
That's Miranda Oldroyd, if anybody didn't see.
Hello. Did you get your hair all perfect before you FaceTimed?
Yeah, you can tell.
I know. That took 10 minutes, I'm guessing. Or were you just born that way? Or is it Instagram filters?
No, my hair is actually about 75% extensions right now, so it's fake.
Same here. What are you doing? Why are you calling us? What's going on here? Why are you calling Ben Alderman? Why are you bothering him?
What are you guys talking about? What are you guys doing?
We're actually talking about steroids. You believe that? These guys bring me on their show to talk about the juice.
Why didn't they bring me on the show to talk about the juice?
I don't know. People always accuse you of it. They accuse you more than they accuse me, probably, right?
Yeah.
I think it's the bicep veins.
Is this on it right now? Are we on the show?
You're on the show right now.
You're on the show right now.
Oh.
You're on the show twice.
Okay,
well. Isn't the show recorded only? Like, you're not filming it, so why did I have to FaceTime you?
I don't know what happened.
You had to be on the show because you wanted to call in and ask Mark Bell a question.
Oh, you have a question.
Yes, I wanted to ask, like, what amount of steroids would someone have to do to be... like a woman to be 5'5 and like enormous, like I'm talking like 134 pounds.
5'5 134. I'm trying to think of who would fit that description.
And like kind of good at CrossFit, like kind of good, but really not that great. Like
kind of more.
That would obviously take a lot of juice.
Are you saying like more Insta famous than good at CrossFit?
Kind of. Okay. Sometimes, not right now.
Hmm. Would this person ever be in a rap video?
Yeah.
I would say probably about 2 gallons of steroids is the answer.
2 gallons? Yeah, a day or like a month or?
2 gallons a day.
2 gallons a day.
Yeah.
Okay, I've only been doing 1.5, so I'm
yeah. Yeah, you got to up your game, sister.
Practically clean.
You're natty. I said you're natty.
Now and I hurt my knee because of the steroids. I stopped taking steroids, which is why I lost so much weight.
So
Miranda,
you've been accused of perhaps abusing steroids in your career by your Instagram followers. What do you think about this?
I just think it's kind of lame. I think it's kind of funny, and it's also, I mean, I actually get kind of sad if I go for too long without somebody accusing me of that, because I'm like, oh, I must be not looking too good anymore because nobody's accusing me of
cheating. Yeah, I think shaving your mustache would be a good start. Some wax for the upper lip, maybe, perhaps. And you have a little bit of a goatee coming in. 5 o'clock shadow.
Well, Mark is in the process of outing all the CrossFit Games competitors, so we'll let you know how it goes, and we'll tell you who he thinks is on and off, including yourself.
For everyone at home who's listening who can't see, Ben holds the microphone really weird.
Oh, get away. It's done.
Mark, dude, that's kind of cool she called in, and thanks, Miranda, for doing that.
Miranda Allroyds, right?
Yeah. Allroyds. We kind of been focusing on like what it's like for a man to take steroids, and
right.
Maybe we should.
You want me to speak from a female's perspective?
Maybe we should speak from a female's perspective.
I have a friend that could kind of do that. But
oh, Mike, here's the microphone.
So for us ladies, the side effects are greater. There's one thing for ladies. Often I think, my research shows, I'm not a lady steroid dealer, but research shows, some of the side effects aren't as reversible as guys in terms of maybe acne.
You're going to see it or hear it a little faster.
Yeah,
you know,
voice. Yeah, guys' voices do change too sometimes, but obviously a guy getting a deeper voice isn't necessarily like a clear sign like, hey, that guy's doing something different. But a girl having a really deep, raspy voice can often be a sign. Hair in places you don't want hair.
Hey now. The taint. Yeah, I would say, kind of back to the CrossFit Games situation you guys were talking about earlier. I mean, there's definitely going to be a decent percentage of those people on them. To try to associate a percentage with it is really just making up numbers.
But just the fact that we're acknowledging that it's probably happening.
Right.
That's enough. I don't need a percentage.
Right. And, I think, it would be wise for CrossFit to try to, figure out their own stance on it, whatever that is, whatever, like if they want to be the strictest or they want to be more lenient or whatever the case may be, it's great to try to find a path and try to, head down that path, whatever that may be. With the WWE, with all the issues they've had over the years with the Chris Benoit tragedy a few years ago where he killed his entire family and then killed himself, the WWE has since that time instituted a lot of different types of drug testing throughout the year. They do random testing. It's not in-house. It's not like Vince McMahon is checking your urine. They have somebody else doing the testing, and my buddy John Cena has always sworn that he's drug free. He's always sworn that he's never done steroids, and it's like almost impossible to believe. Here's a guy who's 240, 245, sometimes even over that. He's chiseled, he's ripped,
handsome
son of a bitch. it's really hard to believe, but he says he's drug free. He's getting tested. He takes those tests, and he puts them up on the wall of his gym. He's got like 200 of them. Just smacked all over his wall because he wants to tell people, hey, look, I'm not using shit. Like, I get tested all the time, and I'm clean. So there's going to be some mutants out there. There's going to be some freaks. And I think that people need to just kind of get used to it. If somebody's passing a test, if you guys are in CrossFit and you're going to sit at home and watch your CrossFit Games and be like, I know these guys are on them, that's really no way to be a part of CrossFit. If you're a part of CrossFit and you think that things are smooth or you want to see things change, rather than just being part of the problem, try to be part of the solution, be part of the change. Maybe try to find out more about, hey, how are they drug testing these guys? Are some of the, like, if you care that much, are some of these guys blowing past me just because they're taking stuff that I don't want to take? They're taking stuff that's illegal. They're taking stuff that's not, that's banned by CrossFit, So those are the main things that I would say to focus in on is, there's going to be people genetically that are superior. I remember Mike and I talked about it a while back. I'm like, well, do you have the best fucking genetics in the world? I mean, it's hard to say, there's going to be some real freaks. You played a high level of football. I was messing around in WWE with a lot of different high level athletes. And some of the shit those guys could do was just off the charts. And it had nothing to do with steroids.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that steroids would be good for CrossFit or PEDs would be good for CrossFit? Because that's a question that kind of would get blown over. Like, I remember Sylvester Stallone getting busted for having growth hormone, and he's like, why would I not want to have this? Like, it makes me feel better. My life is better. Why would I not want to have it? And, in Romano's article, he's talking about the reason why, PEDs are so advantageous to CrossFitters is mostly because of the rate of injury, right? You're training so much and so often, and the volume keeps increasing. And the frequency, the body's not recovering the way it ordinarily should. So there's this huge, you know, attractiveness of a supplement that would allow you to repair and not get injured. Maybe this is one of those situations where, you know, CrossFit should allow certain types of PEDs to protect their athletes. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, even if you had some statistics, if you did blood testing on a lot of CrossFitters who are currently natural, I mean, you might find that a lot of the guys have, you know, their testosterone levels are lower than where they should be because of the amount of training that's going
on. Overtrained.
Yeah, they're overtrained. And maybe some of the guys that are getting through, maybe the Rich Fronings and stuff, maybe those are the guys that are maybe immune to that. Maybe they're somehow figured out a way around that, and they're just a little bit better off than the next guy for genetic reasons or whatever other reason it may be. And so in that case, I mean, yeah, it kind of starts to make some sense, but I don't think you know, I don't think you'll see anything like that anytime soon. I think steroids are not accepted for whatever reason. I don't know how that ever really came to be or how they ever got to the position that they're in currently, because it's never made much sense to me. If you want to be stronger, I don't know why you can't just go and get testosterone. It's never really added up and made any sense in my head.
I don't know if this was where you were going, Blair, but I have heard people say, like, oh, like, CrossFitters wouldn't take steroids because, like, muscle's not going to help them, or, like, more muscle, or they'll get too bulky, or, like, that's just not the case. I call bullshit on anyone's excuse saying, like, no, steroids won't help me in anything. In basketball, there's guys in the NBA where strength is very minimal of priority as in football or other sports, and there's guys taking stuff. Muscle or strength, particularly muscle, is going to be based on how you eat and how you train. Right, you could take testosterone, eat nothing, run miles, and you won't gain like mass. Yeah. You'll just probably get better and recover better. So, I mean, there's just no argument that steroids, and like Mark said, there's a million different kinds of steroids, that some kind of performance-enhancing drug won't help CrossFit. There's something for everybody. And even more muscle would help, right? There's no 250-pound guys running around because they got to do burpees every freaking day. You know, like, they just can't get that heavy.
Yeah, even if they were allowed, I don't think it would change things all that much. I don't think CrossFit would be any more freaky than it's already getting. You know, I maybe an extra 50 pounds here and there on a deadlift or something like that, maybe an extra 20 pounds on a clean or a snatch, but I just don't think it would be, I don't think you would even notice if from 1 year to the next, like they had the steroid Olympics. You guys ever see that skit?
It ripped his arms off.
They did for Saturday Night Live, and the guy rips his arms off. But if you did the all steroid CrossFit games, I honestly don't think you would notice that huge of a difference. And somebody that's clean, it's possible that they would still wipe the floor with somebody that's using. A lot of the times, the guys that are using and abusing stuff the most, if you look at professional football, a lot of the times, especially like in the preseason, you see the biggest, most jacked motherfuckers on the sidelines. Those are the third and fourth string fullbacks that never make the team. And I think I would imagine, and again, this is just guesswork, I would imagine that that's probably the case in CrossFit too. That's not maybe not the absolute cream of the crop. It may not be the top guys, but it's all the people that want to be like the top guys.
Yeah. I think that you make a good point, right? Like maybe it wouldn't change the spectrum of the athletes that we have. Maybe there'd be a few new guys. Maybe there'd be a few new heavy lifts, right? And or maybe they would all be heavier, but they'd be equal across the board, right? And we'd all feel better. Right. What do you think would happen if you did that to other sports? Right. Like if we said, hey, CrossFit wouldn't be all that much different if we gave you guys the green light. But what would happen to, like, say, like a sport like powerlifting or weightlifting if steroids were removed? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, in powerlifting, you know, Jesse Norris comes to mind. We just had Jesse Norris. Did you guys fart or something? You guys are all backing up at the same
fire
time.
Fire drill.
Same time.
We just had Jesse Norris in the gym recently. 198-pound kid. He just went and did nationals out in Pennsylvania for the USAPL. It's a drug-tested federation. It's my understanding that they have fairly strict drug regulations, and they randomly test. They tested this kid last year at the Arnold Classic. They followed him around, and it's called the Animal Cage. It's just a protein company. And they have a lot of lifters go in there and do, like, heavy deadlifts, heavy squats. It's like an expedition thing. And they were following him around. They got a drug test from him right there on the spot. And this is a kid who gets tested all the time. Now, this kid, what did he squat?
His best ever is a 750 squat and knee sleeves.
Yeah, 440 bench.
And an 825-pound deadlift.
And 820 pounds.
He's 23 years old.
So it's like, and it's not just him. I mean, but that's one guy.
Well, what's the best knee sleeve squat ever? Ray Williams, I believe, right? Also a drug-tested athlete, and he squatted 934 pounds.
What does it really mean to be a drug-tested athlete? I mean, a lot of guys are saying, like, it's really an IQ test. Like, can you beat the test?
Yeah.
Because if you're not an idiot, you should be able to beat
the test.
Yeah,
I've heard that everywhere.
Yeah, some people say that, but, you know, with some of these athletes, I don't think they have specialists in their corner the way that Lance Armstrong did. I think these guys are just doing shit by themselves, training by themselves. Ray Williams is a southern boy from down in Alabama who just happens to be huge, and I think that's the way he's able to lift those big weights. I'm not saying that he's 100% clean or whatever, but again, these are guys that are getting tested. It seems like the testing is strict. So, like, if this was a guy in your community, you'd be like, "Well, I got to just trust CrossFit because they've tested him 4 times in 1 year, and he's still kicking everybody's ass." My main point is that if a 198-pound kid who's supposedly drug-free can deadlift 825 pounds, that's over 4 times body weight, what are the possibilities of some other athletes? And why isn't – like, if steroids are so powerful, how come people that even weigh more than him that use steroids can't lift more than him? You know, yeah. I mean, they're
steroids don't build tendons and ligaments, right?
Yeah, they're not gonna. It's not gonna
or
do
work
everything.
Ethic.
It's not gonna do everything for you. They fucking help a ton. You know, from a person who takes them and has taken them for years, they help a lot. They help a lot in a lot of different ways, but they can't. They can't build everything for you.
When you look at the testing protocols, right? Like, I'm just curious. I think Blair's question, you know, begs another question, right? Like, yeah, you have testing protocols, but how long do these things stay in your system, right?
Yeah,
like, if somebody says, hey, you're going to be drug tested in 24 hours, is that enough time for me, if I've been taking testosterone, mm-hmm. right, to
it's stop? Not enough time. Not enough time for your ratios. They're checking – a lot of times they're checking your ratios. Again, this is, like, uncharted territory for me. I don't know a ton about all the different testing that they do. But a lot of times they're checking ratios of your testosterone to, like, your estrogen or something along those lines. And if it comes back, you know, out of the general – what they consider to be acceptable. Now, those ranges are in some sports, they're a little wider than others. They've widened them up a little bit for some people. But again, this is a guy who gets tested frequently. You know, if he's taking shit, then he's beating all these current tests that are out there, you know, I guess.
There's different compounds too, though, yeah? Like, some may be a week, some may be 6 months, maybe a year.
There's a lot of different things you can take. There's stuff that's fast-acting. There's stuff that's slow-acting. You know, when sometimes athletes will test positive for something that stays in your system for months on end, and usually the feedback from, like, the steroid community or the people, like, on the boards and the forums, they'll kind of flip out and they'll be like, "How the fuck did the guy test positive for that? Because it stays in your system for like a year."
Yeah, in terms of
so sometimes people are just being stupid with it and not paying attention at all.
Yeah, and drug testing, though, I think it's, you know, obviously the stricter you're going to be drug tested, the more likely your sport pays you, right? So, like, Lance Armstrong, there's a documentary. He got tested, like, 3 times in the same day by, like, 3 different companies and 3 different committees. Well, Lance Armstrong, in that case, did have a specialist. He had the money to get a specialist.
Yeah.
In terms of powerlifting, I'm doing a drug-tested meet here in a couple weeks. It's a local meet, so chances are I'll do pretty good. Chances are, again, I'll probably get drug tested. So then I could put that on my Instagram and say, "Hey, I'm drug tested."
Some people
even
request it.
Maybe. But that's one test in 27 years of my life. You know? So,
right.
Like, I don't need a specialist. Even if I did take something when I was 22, there's also studies that show if you take steroids once, that molecularly changes you for the rest of your life.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
Not to the extreme. Yeah. You know, you have to continue taking them, just like continue working out. But same thing, if you work out some of that bone density, you'll keep that for the rest of your life.
Right. I spoke to a guy at one point, this is like 3 or 4 years ago, and he's a CrossFitter, used to be a fighter, and he said, "You know, I tore my knee one year when I was fighting, and part of my recovery was steroid injections into the knee,
right.
And it was for 6 months of rehab, and he's like, you know, I worked out really hard, and I felt the difference. I got stronger than I ever got. Like, there was definitely an impact from those injections, and then he was off it after that, never took him again, and he's like, I got back down to my fighting weight, you know, I was like, I think he was 135 or something. He's like, Blair, I was a different 135. Like, I was throwing guys around the ring like
stronger.
I never did before. He's like, and I wasn't on anything. So is that your guys' experience? Like, or Mark, like, do you
In
know
my experience, no. In my experience, when you're off them, you're off them. They're out of your system. And actually,
or maybe just the first time.
Well, even further down that path is that when you go from being something I should point out is that if you ever do take them, you should know that the side effects really only hit you when you come off them. I think that people think all these side effects are going to jump on them the second they start doing them. That's not really the way that it works. It's the change in hormones. It's the drastic change in hormones. So maybe when you first get on them, there might be some side effects, and maybe when you come off of them, you'll definitely see some side effects. But once you're off them for even as much as 3 months, if you were on them for a prolonged period of time before that, you're going to be worse off. Once those 3 months are up from you being off of them, you'd be worse off than you ever were before, because now all your hormones are fucked up. Your body's got to try to get back in balance again. Now, when your body does get back in balance again, you're still going to be fighting an uphill battle to try to gain some of that size and some of that muscle back. So if you look at, like, you know, look at former bodybuilders and stuff, people are like, holy shit, what happened to Lou Ferrigno, or what happened to this guy, or what happened to that guy? It's because they'll eventually come off of stuff at some point, and they won't look the same.
Well, I think, like, those misconceptions are things that, you know, because steroids are so taboo or whatever, that we're just going to live with those as a society for a while. You know what I mean? People are going to have to come to you, or they're going to ask, or they're going to listen to podcasts like this, because they just don't know. You know what I mean? So they're asking these crazy questions. We actually put it out on our Instagram yesterday that you guys were going to be on the show.
Cool.
And we have a couple of listener questions, and I thought they'd be much more related to steroids. But some people are actually asking questions that are not
so weird
at all about steroids,
which I think is cool. You know, like, I've done some stuff for CrossFit in the past, and I've done stuff with bodybuilding.com and done some stuff with some pretty big companies, Rogue Fitness and stuff like that, over the years. And I've had some people, sometimes there's like a little backlash, and be like, somebody will say, oh, well, he does steroids. Well, the fact that I've done them or do them or whatever, it doesn't change the fact that I have like 30 years experience in powerlifting, 25 years experience in powerlifting. I've seen every lifter lift every single way, and I've seen a lot of guys both on stuff and off stuff. I also pushed myself, at least what I felt was as hard as I could, for a good 15 years before I ever decided to do anything.
Not to mention your 500 Fran is like still the best score ever.
Oh,
recorded.
Yeah. No, that stands by itself. I mean, I mean, you guys haven't even come close to that. What's your best, 300?
Nobody can take that away from you.
Yeah, no,
you're
no. No one ever will be able to.
Yeah. You're just genetically gifted for Fran.
I hope Dave Castro hears that. Yeah. The 500 Fran time. He won't believe it.
He won't. Once he hears that you said it, though, he'll believe
it.
Oh,
then he maybe he'll understand.
He'll be like, oh, yeah. Marshall? Okay, yeah, it makes sense. So the first question is a, like, three-part question from Josh Settledge. I don't know who that is. But anyway, he said, Mark, what are your thoughts on the popular method of squatting every day?
Oh, my God.
Also, what do you miss from competing, and do you ever plan to compete again?
Squatting every day can be great. You can learn timing, and you can learn how to squat. I would just say that if you're squatting every day, that you are not following some basic time management principles. Like, to me, to squat every day just doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense unless you have a reason for it. If you just think to yourself, like, I freaking suck at squats and I need to figure these stupid things out once and for all, and you want to squat for every day for the next 3 weeks, it might make some sense to you. It might make some sense for that athlete, but where's your bench press going? Where's your deadlift going? Where's, you know, if you're a CrossFitter, where are some of your other lifts going? You're going to have to spend an equal amount of time on a lot of different aspects of your fitness or your strength in order to improve. So to squat every day, I'm not a huge fan of it, but in some cases, if somebody hit somebody's form is way off or something like that, it might make some sense. In terms of competing, I'm scheduled to compete November 7th because
what?
I want to try to.
I think that's a first announcement publicly.
Might be,
wow.
Might be. Trying to increase the bench press and see where I'm at with the bench, and then also beat my previous total of. I did a 1901 total in knee wraps. This time I'm lifting in knee sleeves. So I'm trying to beat that total without the assistance of the knee wraps.
Nice, man. Good
at
luck.
Jesse Burdick's meet, CSA Gym, November 7th.
Nice. I'm running a really long trail race on November 7th.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Oh, my God.
news me along. That leads us to our next question. It's a two-part question from Austin Whistler. His first question is, what legal supplements for CrossFit would you recommend? And he gives examples of like protein, fish oil, creatine, BCAA, et cetera. And then also he said, who is the best athlete based on your standards between yourself, Ben, and me?
Oh, my God.
That's a great question.
So two-parter. Go for it.
Wow, two-parter.
And, Mike, you can feel free to jump in on any of that.
Mark's the worst athlete I've ever met in my life.
Boise, Idaho has.
Oh, he did. He impressed me.
Yeah, yeah.
He ran an out route faster than fucking Randy Moss.
Mike was freaking out. He threw the ball, and the second the ball left his hand, he just starts laughing. He's like, oh, my God.
It was like negative 0 degrees, too. It was so cold.
He's like, I had no idea you can run that fast. Anyway, what's the motherfucking question again?
What legal supplements for CrossFit do you recommend? You know, things like protein, fish oil, creatine, brand chains.
All the supplements that person mentioned right there are all decent places to start. Protein powder can be good because it just helps add some protein to your diet. But really, it always comes down to food. I know people get tired of people saying that, but really, you got to have your food intact. And I would say, even if you're a CrossFitter, I would suggest, getting some sort of meal prep organized. Try to have 5 or 6 meals a day. I would try to eat like a bodybuilder, with the exception of adding a little bit more fat to the diet. You're going to need carbohydrates because most of the CrossFitters are crazy and they train multiple times a day. The absolute best way to recover from those workouts is with carbohydrates. It's going to be the form of energy that takes you from one workout to the next workout. And then just in terms of like creatine and stuff like that, if you can afford it, go for it. I like BCAAs because they, I just get sick and tired of drinking water all the time. So, it's just a little change of pace and adds more amino acids to your diet.
I kind of have a follow-up question to that. So most of these supplements are daily supplements. Like you plan them around workouts.
Right.
Fish oil is like day and night type of thing. Do guys treat steroids or performance enhancers the same way? Is it a daily supplement?
I know some people do. Actually, it's kind of a funny thing is that back in the day before Muscle and Fitness was Muscle and Fitness, when it was a real magazine, it used to be called Muscle and Power, and it actually had had a lot of strength training type information in it. And one of the protocols it would have, it would say like, oh, this guy trains this way. He did 5 sets of 5 incline bench, and then he moved on to some flat bench, and he did some dumbbells, and this is the way this guy trains his chest. And then it would also have his nutrition there. It would say, like, what the guy ate for the day, and then it would say 2 Dianabol pills. And it would list out, like, two multivitamins and whatever else, and it would just go on. It was just, like, part of the, in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s is when they had that kind of information out there. And I think that's kind of funny because back then it didn't have a bad stigma. It didn't have a bad association to it. It was just kind of like part of people's routines, part of what they did. But in terms of steroids, I know some guys, they swear by like taking something beforehand that it helps. I don't really know how it would. None of them really hit you that quickly. There are certain ones.
It's just that placebo effect that Mike was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Right? You take your whatever pill. And
yeah. The
like,
movie, The Program, the guy Latimer, yep. The defensive end, he injects himself and he says no problem. And he does a set of curls or whatever. In my opinion, they don't work that way. So
that was a great movie though.
Oh, it was.
That was an awesome movie.
Fantastic.
I might be too young. I don't know if I've seen it.
You're on the team.
Is it new? Team. Am I just lost?
That's not a new movie.
That's not a new movie.
But classic line from that movie is when the coaches are like saying, do you think Latimer's on something? He's like, I don't know, coach. It's not that hard to gain 30 pounds of muscle if you just hit the gym real hard.
Yeah, and he drops the weight and he's like sweating all over the bar and he's screaming and kicking the weights and everything.
Well, the last question we have is actually from somebody kind of curious about the slingshot and knee sleeves, and they live in the UK.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they want to know, like, can they buy your product?
They can, but I don't know how. I'm working on it.
They're trying to figure – they want to figure it out, man.
You can go on roguefitness.com. Rogue Fitness has a UK website as well. I don't know exactly what that is, but they –
roguefitness.com/UK.
Some shit like that. Yeah, you'll find it. But we also have a UK vendor, but they're not officially our main vendor yet, but we'll have that shortly. And if you follow my Instagram and follow some of my other social media, that'll be up shortly.
I mean, last thing, you're a guy who, I mean, we're talking steroids, but it seems like you're always making moves. You're always doing something, you know, and that's like one thing that I've watched from the side and almost in some ways tried to copy. You know what I mean?
What the fuck?
Yeah, man. Like, I'm just like,
hey, I'm out of here.
Smelly's always making moves. He's always hustling in like three or four different areas. Like, what's the next big thing for Mark? Is it competing?
Well, now that I know you copy me, I'm
yeah,
fucking
exactly.
Saying
what's
shit?
The next big thing for Ben is really what I'm asking you. You know what I mean? Like, what am I focusing on next? Because I'm obviously going to jump on steroids, and yeah. Then now I got to figure out what else I got to do.
Yeah, you need some steroids. That's right. For sure.
I know.
Well, because it helped balance out the size of your head. If your shoulders were wider,
people think about that all the time. They're like, when I wasn't working out, I weighed 170.
Oh,
right.
Your shoulder?
I was like Blair size, and my head was still the same size.
Hey, how sad? How sad were you for a little while when your shoulder was beat up? It must have sucked, right?
It
when you
sucked.
Got the surgery
yeah.
and stuff.
It sucked. I was really.
It's amazing
irritated.
How bad like that shit can make you feel being yeah. out of the loop for just
like your knee, probably.
Yeah,
you know, same
yeah.
thing, and you're just like squatting to a box that is too high. You know?
Yeah, it's devastating.
Except Ben really was only out of the loop for like 2 weeks.
I know.
Not even that. And he was already exercising and doing one-arm rows. And
yeah, lifting more than he's supposed to.
Safety squat barring. Asking you for advice on how to get a safety squat bar so he could still.
He's not that smart.
Yeah. Well, that's not debatable.
Next moves for me, just trying to keep pushing things out, keep trying to make the world a better place to lift. Getting people to.
That was kind of sweet, Mark.
Yeah, you like that? Getting people to the gym, you know, I'm working on getting Bill Kazmaier to the gym, one of the most famous strongman guys to ever live. So we're working on getting him to the gym. We're working on a bunch of other shit. So just keep plugging away. Try to get good content for the YouTubes and stuff like that, podcasts.
Silent Mike, what about you?
Same. That's basically our mission every day is how to put out the best content in the most places possible.
Are you guys trying to go on like a global tour? Or
no, we're
like that?
Global takeover.
Global takeover.
Yeah,
yeah, but the best part about the global takeover is from the luxury of our own house.
The globe comes here.
Yeah. You don't go anywhere. It's a global takeover from home. Yeah. I work from home with my global takeover mission.
Yeah. I don't feel like traveling too much, so yeah. But yeah, that's kind of the goal is just to keep getting new, interesting, fun guests to the gym, shoot some YouTube videos with them, do some podcasts with them, and just have some fun.
Yeah, well, you guys got a great team around you for sure for all that.
I got one final question to kind of wrap this this topic up. And hopefully, I'm thinking we could have this conversation every couple months or so.
God.
And just keep coming up on it. But CrossFit is a young community. It's a young sport. And kind of grappling with issues like this, you know, it can kind of be a hot button.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mentioned earlier. Is like I think they should make a strong stance on it now.
Yeah. And how what do you think... What do you think the reaction is going to be in the community? Do you think people are going to rush to defense the way Romano kind of portrays it? He says that, you know, CrossFitters, as soon as you mention steroids, like, oh, no, not our guys. That's kind of like it's all clean and paleo. And do you think that's going to be the way it's going to go? And if it is, how long is it going to take people to really start having a realistic, you know, conversation about it?
Yeah, it'd probably take a – it'll probably take a long time, probably take about another 10 years before you start to really hear people talking about, because they're going to develop better ways of testing people. And then I think at some point they're going to say, well, you know, like if you look at like track and field, you know, track and field has always been pretty dirty. And a lot of times
I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that. Rightly, you hear track and field. Like,
oh, yeah.
Maybe on the inner circles, people are like, yeah, that totally makes sense. But for me, when I heard that, I was like, really?
Yeah, track and field.
High jumpers?
Yeah.
Sprinters, you know?
Yeah, track and field's pretty bad and pretty notorious. I mean, there's been situations where somebody wins a gold, they pull the gold from that person, and then they start looking at everybody else, and they can't even give the gold to anybody in the top five. They're like, okay, well, who's in the second heat? You know, they're looking for somebody in a completely different heat to just give a gold medal away to, pretty much. But the testing will get better, and at some point they'll probably – start to say, well, how did some of these guys, like how did Mark Bell get a 500 Fran time back? You know, we were testing this way, but obviously we weren't testing well enough at that point. And I think that they'll probably look back and they'll probably say, holy shit, like either that guy was a maniac, and that guy was a stud, or maybe that guy was finding a way around the rules before we had this kind of testing around.
I think it gets really foggy too, because CrossFit is the governing body. There's no like players association. There's no athlete union. So who's going to make
the rules?
It's
CrossFit by CrossFit.
Yeah, you know, it's not basketball doesn't run basketball. The NBA runs yeah. United States
and even
basketball.
Even the UFC. You know, it has they have you know sanctioned bodies. You know, within the Nevada State Athletic Commission and all that stuff. It's not Dana White doesn't have Chuck Liddell. You know, judging the matches and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very different, though. Yeah, it's MMA is the sport.
The Iceman's going to collect your urine. And
yeah, he's just drinking a bunch of beer, and he's like, yeah, you're sort of positive, but let's not even worry about it, bro.
Want a good fight.
Yeah, you fought aggressively. I'm into that. That was cool.
Chuck the Iceman Liddell. All right, perfect. So on that note, so if people want to follow you and the things you guys are doing in your global takeover from home, I mean, what they got to do to follow you guys and see what you're up to?
You can follow me at Mark Smillybell on Instagram and Twitter. And YouTube.com/supertraining06 is my YouTube channel.
And for the natural version of you, your skinnier counterpart?
Oh, me? Our podcast is Mark Bell's Powercast on iTunes. My Instagram is Silent Mike with 2 Ks. And then my YouTube's YouTube.com/SilentMike95.
All right. And as always, you guys can follow us at BTB Podcast. Sign up for our newsletter. And download these episodes. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Later.